Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Stephen was out today, so he asked me if I could fill in for him. I said, sure. So here we are. Amen. Let's open the Bible to Romans chapter 1. Let me get my notes out here. It's been a while since I preached in congregation. And when I did last, I mainly did it in Spanish. And so, anyway, my wife said, don't make no excuses, so no excuses. We're just going to preach God's word best we know how.
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I take it as a blessing. And, Lord, I pray for the listeners and those that will be outside our realm here, also listening to your word. I ask you, God, to may your Holy Spirit work on each heart, instruct and guide and lead them, lead all of these that are here also, Father, to what your perfect will is and when it's concerning the gospel. Well, I thank you. Now bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Book of Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to read from 1 to 7. Romans, can you not hear me? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. All right.
Just suit up.
Amen. Thank you, Melvin. Romans chapter 1. And basically, this has to do with, before we read, this has to do with understanding what you and I have. If you've been saved, you have met the good news of God. The gospel means good news, means glad tidings. And I know oftentimes when we preach the strong things, and I might preach a little bit here also on that, on those, some of those things, but regardless, it's still good news. If it's hard and difficult for you, maybe you need to make it good news for you. And I say that because you'll see through the message. But let's read Romans 1 and excuse me. Verse 1, and we'll begin there. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And jumping over to verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And I think about, as I was saying earlier, this is good news. And I know in my life, I have had to correct myself or been rebuked to when you hear the gospel. Actually, it's so prominent here that sometimes you say, well, maybe we need a little bit something else beside the gospel. That's a bad spirit for one. That was something I had to correct in me.
Amen.
Here I have an example that Paul himself went to Rome to the Christians there and probably others that weren't. And he said, and 15 again, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. And, you know, I'd rather, and I'm teaching myself, I'm trying to grow in this path, that, hey, the gospel is more important than other things. In other words, as a church, I want to err in going the right direction.
Amen.
If you know what I mean.
Amen.
And I don't think this is an error because we see our example here. to preach the good news of the gospel is not erroneous. It's the right thing to do. But there's so many, and I'm not comparing this church to any others, but there's so many congregations you can go to and they're not preaching the gospel. So then you have, and some will preach it maybe in a very small way, but what my point is, I'd rather go that direction and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as I see here, the Apostle Paul had said. And then why is it? Look at verse 16. We'll read 16. We'll read 15 again. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Then it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What a beautiful thing. The life that we have in believing and trusting in what Jesus did for us on that cross and being buried and rising again the third day, the life that we have and the privilege we have to learn to live by faith is amazing. In other words, I'm not here trying to impress you or trying to impress God even. I'm here because God has given me His grace to trust in Him. And He's given me faith, and I want more faith and growth in all the areas of my life. But it's because it's a life of faith and not of works. Like the apostle says in another word, another area. So we won't boast. A lot of people, they believe it's by works. Or it's because of my work. Or it's because of my church attendance. Or it's because of my baptism. Or whatever. You add on to it. No, it's faith, like it says there, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. There ain't no other way. There's some things in life that come very unexpectedly, and you know what? If you're not living by faith, you and I can be knocked down at any moment. Amen. Knocked down and just give up on God. Not saying that we're not saved, but God wants us to grow in grace and grow in faith, to grow following Him, believing in Him, trusting in Him. Because, brethren, when this is all said and done, what's going to matter is Jesus, and when you see Him face to face. There's nothing more important. Too often we're sidetracked by the things of this life, and it happens, right? People work, you know, you got bills to pay, you got a life to live, you got family to tend to and what have you. I get it. But God wants to increase your faith in His truth of the gospel and to grow in grace. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll come back here in a little bit if you want to just keep your finger there. 1 Corinthians 15. And I know most of you here know what the gospel is, but you know, you preach to the choir, they say, you know. But you know, even in the choir, there might be somebody that hasn't given himself over, okay? Or maybe some visitor. But here's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, and in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And here's the message. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen. In other words, he was resurrected and they seen him. This is the gospel. It's a completed work.
Amen.
It's a completed work till the resurrection. Jesus came back one day, and He's coming back again another day.
Amen.
So a lot of people are putting this off. A lot of people are not, so-called Christians aren't living for God like they should. Some aren't going anywhere to be with God's people. And that is a scary thing. I call it a scary thing because God made us a community so we might exhort each other and encourage each other in this faith. And when you're living out there in the world has so much to give you, so much to offer you, but it's all temporal. It's all passing. And so many people are being deceived by what this world gives. You know, as I grow older in life, I'm seeing more and more how vain my life has been, how my life is, and how the lives of others also is. When you not that I judge anybody else and how they're living, but really, what does it matter at the end?
Right.
What does it matter? I see as I'm seeing life as I get older, it's like, you know what? What really matters? What really matters? And as God has given me grace to be more free in this life and walk in a daily life, you know what matters is serving Him.
Amen.
You know, someone said, if you don't have a purpose, then your life has gone to waste. And you can find purpose in things temporarily in this life, you know, like do a project at home, fix something here and there, you know, whatever it might be. But those are passing things. They might give you temporal pleasure, temporal, good pleasure and joy. And hey, I built that. Look at that. Every time you go back to it, hey, look, I did that. Look at that. Won't tell you all my errors, but hey, I did that, you know. But you know, that's passing. Purpose is this, is having it in this, getting others to believe like you and I have believed.
Amen.
That's it, because we're all going to die one day. We don't know the day. The Bible says no man knows what a day may bring forth. We're not promised tomorrow.
Amen.
You know, we're not promised. We're not guaranteed 10 more years. And so what matters is the gospel. It's Jesus. And our walking with Him. So it's simple too. As you see here, He doesn't add on. Look at verse again there in 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to Scriptures. That's it. That's it. That's the message right there that saves you and I.
Amen.
And you know, I know you know that, but you know, and you that haven't given yourself to this, you know it too probably. You hear it a lot. But has it become a reality in your life? Has it become yours? Can you say, and I'm not asking for hands or some other form of acknowledging it, but in your heart, can you say that you know your sins are forgiven?
Amen.
Can you say that you're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus today? Can you say that? Can you say the day I die, I know where I'm going to go when I die?
Amen.
And it's not hell like I so rightly deserve. Can you say that?
Yes.
And if you haven't come to that point, get to know it.
Amen.
Get to know it. Get with it.
Amen.
Because you're not guaranteed, nor am I, another day in this life. It's time to get this. And it's simple. It's not by your works. A lot of people think, well, I have to, I'll give an example. When I was a younger person and I had a job as a truck driver and I got away from the Scriptures because of the demand of driving and what have you. But God doesn't, He doesn't leave you alone. You can be out there somewhere miles away and He's with you. And so he dealt with me about continue following Him, though I had to provide for my family. He says, keep following me. But I did the mistake. I did a mistake. I put myself under a law for a time. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. You behave your, you know, some of the things are good habits, you know, don't do this and don't do that. But I put myself under a law per se. My own law. And when I would break it, I felt condemned. And I was condemned. Because the law, that's what it does. It condemns. You know, we're led by the Spirit of grace. And yes, God has this perfect law mixed in there that he says it's written in our hearts. So it's not by so much going by certain rules you put upon yourself. It's by being led of the Spirit. And so he blessed me and corrected me on that. And I finally learned how just to rest in Jesus. Just to rest in what he's done for me and the sins I had to deal with and the temptations and all that. I dealt with it. And God to this day has not left me and he'll never leave me, but he's guided me to this day. And I just thank the Lord for that. Let's look at another verse in back in, not where we were, but in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And listen what it says to start in verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Amen. And bring glad tidings. Amen. Of good things, bring the good news of the gospel. That's a blessing, right? Amen. But you know what there? It says, how can they hear without a preacher? Now, first of all, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Shall be saved. Not no ifs, ands, or buts. You shall be saved. And that's a nugget in itself. Eternal security right there. But then it says, 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? I want to talk to the church a little bit here. What are you doing to propagate the gospel?
Amen.
What are you doing? And I'm not here trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm here trying to encourage you.
Yes, sir.
To get busy if you're not busy.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen. Excuse me. Like I said earlier, if you're not serving the Lord, you're wasting your time. You're wasting God's time. Thought about that, and then when I think about when we complain, we're using God's breath. I heard this from someone else. It's not original. We're using God, what God gave us in breath, to complain when we shouldn't. But getting back to the thought, God's given you life. I don't know how many years he's given it to you, and he's given it to me. I want to hear that well done and good and faithful servant. I don't know if I will, but I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, I say that I'm pressing forward, and I hope you do too. And I'm sure most of you are here, but somebody maybe is not, and you know who you are. You need to get with it. You need to get with it. Don't be ashamed. You know, as we read earlier. Back in Romans 1, it says, 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's a hard thing. Cause we're pretty proud people. I'll speak for myself, okay? Pretty proud, and you don't want to come over to somebody in a form of an awkward way. Sometimes you have to do awkward things to serve the Lord. I'm saying that. Well, you just come up and you just, talking to somebody about the Lord or give them a gospel tract. Might not be the right time or whatever. You feel it, but you know what? Sow the seed.
Right.
You sow the seed. And whether they feel it's awkward or not, or you feel it's awkward, who cares? Serve the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Why? Because there's power in this gospel. It's power. Right now, we're at the grace of God, the mercy of God, just to come here and be blessed of him, to meet together in this air conditioner building and all that. But you know, God has something bigger than this. Right now, we're just kind of like, we're not, definitely not playing church. Because I know y'all are serious about your lives. You wouldn't be here if you weren't. But you know, think about this. This is just a time we're getting together. Don't make it monotonous to yourself. It should not be. And as I'm telling you, I'm telling myself. I've been telling myself this over the years. It's worth it because it's a powerful gospel that we have. And we shouldn't be ashamed. Humble our pride. Lose face. And lose face for God. Because He's going to be the one you have to give account of at the end. Not that person you feel embarrassed for doing so in front of. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, verse 16 in Romans 1, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. That's the question right there. It's just believing, trusting. It doesn't say everyone that believeth and is baptized. Everyone that believeth and behaves himself 100%. I don't know if there's anybody here that can do that. I encourage it, but.
Amen.
It says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I'm just thankful. It's not how I preach or how well I behave or how good in this and that I am. No, it's because I believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Simple. Simple. We have this precious message, this precious truth. We have this precious, possession. We have it.
Amen.
We should share it to others.
Amen.
I sometimes more ashamed when I don't share the message.
Amen.
Not saying that I'm out there like a robot having to give everybody a leaflet or talk to everybody. No, I want to be led of the Spirit, but I also want to be just sometimes you got to preach the word instant in season and out of season, just even if it's not the right time. But I'm sometimes ashamed when I miss a witness.
Yes.
When I miss it. I'll give an example. One day, my wife was shopping and she was in the store and I told her I'd wait out in the car and just wait for her. And then a lady to the front, she had a flat tire parked. We were parked at a kind of a, like a Target or something like that. And I said, if I go help her, what they're going to think, I don't know. So all this stuff of the enemy started putting in my mind. I don't want my wife coming out and I'm sweating, helping this lady, and maybe she might get upset. I don't know what. But you know what? I let the devil ruin a possible testimony.
Yeah.
That was the days when Brother Spurgeon was here. I could have invited her to the conference after fixing her tire. Shame on me. That, you know, do you miss an opportunity? Have you missed an opportunity?
Yep.
Do you get that that in your heart that you've made God sad? Well, that's a good thing in one sense of the word. But it should encourage us to get it right the next time.
Amen.
Don't care about what the devil might tell you or put before you or what anybody else thinks. Just do what God has told you to do.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to try to finish up here. Let's see. Not even halfway. Sorry, folks, but here we go. But to some people, it's bad news. But the reason being is because they don't want to let go of some things. Look at Romans, back in Romans 1. And we'll see in starting verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's a tough phrase right there. I'm sure that has various, that last part there. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Could be how you're living. You're not living right for God and you're, you know, maybe serving God that way or you're holding it back or you don't hold it back because you're not living right. I don't know. Could be many things. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We have the truth. Let's do right with it. And then it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, they are without excuse. And you're that little bridge or that little help to get them to possibly believe in Jesus. And so let's not hold that truth and unrighteousness against them. But they're without excuse. They know God exists. But here's the danger. Here's the bad news. Let me read a little bit more. In 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And then it goes on and talks about that they'll be given over to their own lusts. They'll be men with men doing things. And we're seeing that already, right? And women, like it says in 20, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves a recompense of their error, which was meet. We're seeing this and you have seen it. And yeah, this is actually called the first day of Pride Month. This is called the month of pride, which we know, or maybe you don't know, where the homosexuals and lesbians and they celebrate, now they're celebrating this month as theirs. So they can run rampant. It's bad news on them if they don't repent, but they can run rampant and do that. But how about us trying to say, hey, this might cost me to witness to you and whatever, I'm going to do it. And say it in love. Speak the truth in love. But hey, this is very important. But getting back up to the other verse where it says in 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Some people have to have some type of image. And if you're like that, this fits you. You don't need to make God in an image form. In other words, God made you in his image. Don't you go make God in the form of an image. Of even if animals or even a person. And some people do that. A lot of people do that. And that's not going to take you to hell unless you don't repent and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. But that will lead you the wrong way if you're a Christian. God wants you to live by faith. Amen? Amen. Bad news. That's bad news when they let these, when the world is taking a foothold on our lives, and it shouldn't. And I won't look at the verses right now, but John 3:17 or through 21 is that men love darkness rather than light. Naturally, that's us. That's those out there. We have a battle, and you know it. We battle with the loving darkness. Think about it. Think about how easy it is for you to get off of what you're supposed to do when you pick up that cell phone and go off into darkness. It happens, and it ought not be. We should not let these things overcome us. But it's our bent nature. And so I would just encourage you, as I encourage myself, hey, you know what? We got something better to live for, and not to be living in darkness with our old nature, but to live in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, to glorify him and give him the glory that he needs. That he deserves, not that he needs it, but that he deserves it. And there's a verse in Mark 8:36, right around there, that it says like this: what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm going to read it better from my little notepad over here. For what shall it profit a man, 8:36, if it shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore, verse 38, shall be ashamed of me and my words, and this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Wow. When he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Hey, there it is. You want to gain the whole world? If you're not saved here today, you want to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Is that what you want? Is that really what you want? That's what's going to happen. I remember this verse as I was just close to being saved. That spoke to me. That was my intent to gain this world. To live for the world. Be somebody, if you will. Whatever the case. But then I realized this world has a lot of hurt and pain. I realized, and actually that's what he did. He broke my pride. He I still deal with it, but I mean, he broke my pride to come to know him as Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
This is personal, and I'm not going to tell you what this is, but he humbled me.
Thank you, Lord.
Broke me. And you know what? I don't regret it.
Amen.
I am thankful that God broke me, humbled me, because that thing that I was all proud about really didn't matter. It doesn't matter now at all. But I'm just thankful that he showed me, what shall it profit me if I gain this whole world, lose my own soul? And what am I going to give exchange for my soul? Now, Jesus paid the price. He paid the price, and there's nothing you have to do to give him, but maybe your heart, your life to him, but you can't give nothing else. There's no exchange. Just receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll gain more than this whole world. I'm going to end it with this in Matthew. Actually, let's go to Psalms to end it there. I was going to take you to Matthew, but I want to end with this thought. Psalm 2, I'll give you the verse in a minute, but in Luke 22:48, you don't have to go there, but it's where Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver for something of this world. He wanted to gain this world. Yeah, he regretted it later, but it was too late. It was done. I'm not sure. I don't understand it all, but it was too late. But here in Psalm 2 and verse 12, it says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Yes.
That's the kiss that counts.
Yes.
The one that didn't count was when Judas betrayed the Lord with that kiss. And you that are not saved here today, you might be kind of kissing the Lord, but you got other things that are more important. You got other plans. You're not willing to give your life to Jesus. You just want to maybe aparentar. You want to appear that you have really kissed Jesus. I don't know your heart, and I'm not here to judge you, but you know your heart. God knows your heart. Are you saved today? Have you trusted the gospel for your own? Are you going to heaven when you die? Hey, I'm like some around here. I want to wake up in glory. I don't want to go through any pains along the way, but I just want to wake up in glory. Well, however it happens, that's okay. Because it's like, what counts is I'm going to glory. Not because I'm here before you. I'm no better than you. I'm not going to get into comparisons because that's not wise. But here's what I'm going to say is that I can tell you I know where I'm going when I die. Do you know that?
Amen.
I hope you do. And if you haven't, call on Jesus before it's too late. Trust him.
Amen.
Faith. Remember, faith by the just shall live by faith. We don't. Another area says we don't walk by sight. By faith, he's here. He's here right now. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He's more present. He's present everywhere. Omnipresent, right? But he's right here right now. And, you know, that's what matters. What does Jesus know about you? Well, he knows everything, but your decision, whether you've trusted him or not, he knows that. Doesn't matter what we think about you. No matter what I think about you. Doesn't matter what you think about me. What matters is what does Jesus think about you? And the Bible says he has many thoughts about us, like the sands of the sea. Oh, it's amazing. There's so much that, you know, I had to cut my notes because I'm going a little long, but hey, the thing is, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, do that before it's too late. Amen? Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll end it. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, and thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you at any moment and then have to be here in our presence with one another. At any moment, Lord, we just thank you. I can talk to you and you talk to me and you can talk to anybody here at any moment by your Spirit. I just pray, God, that you just bless those that don't know you, that they might come to know you. And if they don't know you, Lord, don't give them no rest till they do know you. And thank you for this and bless us as we go on our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.